for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday afternoon, May the 24th, 1991. Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Glenn and Irma Miller are the speakers of the afternoon. This is tape one of two tapes of the afternoon service.
Well, Doc was speaking to the men this afternoon, and one of the things that he was mentioning was, what is the reason you came here? Did you come here for a purpose? Do you need some help? Well, then why do you want the help? You got a problem? You want to get rid of the problem. But why do you want to get rid of the problem? Now, that's the $64 question. Is the reason you want to get rid of it just so you can do what you want to do? Or do you want to get rid of it so you can serve the Lord to a greater capacity? Now, see, we've got to look at what our reasons are for things. And we've got to have the right spirit, as well as the right attitude, and the right reason. So if we really want to be free and have problems that we need to be free from, then the reason we should be wanting those to be free from them is so that we can serve God and magnify the Lord Jesus better tomorrow than we have today. So if you want help, God is a helping God. And in the name of Jesus, there's help and there's deliverance and there's healing and there's restoration. But when we get all through, the purpose is that we declare that Jesus is Lord. To magnify the Lord Jesus. That's the purpose of creation. That's God's purpose for creation, is to magnify His Son, Jesus. That's why you're here. That's why I'm here. That's why the universe exists. The universe exists to praise the Lord. And we're part of that universe, so we exist, first of all, to praise the Lord. Then He says, all these other things will be added unto us. As we make Him foremost in our life, and our purpose is to praise and magnify Jesus. And He says that Jesus came to do what? To do away. Yes, He died. That's right. She's right. He came to do away with Satan. Somebody quote that for me just right. Was manifested that He might destroy the works of the devil. And then it's given unto us that in My name, Jesus said, in My name, you're to cast out devils, lay hands on the sick and heal the sick, raise the dead, or whatever else is needed to take care of the widow and look after the orphans, and all of these things, then is subject unto us. We are, the Lord has given that position unto us today. He came and made the way, and then He's turned it over unto us. So here at the campground, we get taught by our Brother Harris and Brother Cook and other ministries that come here from different camp meetings. And then, but in the midst of it all, we learn about deliverance. Now, we've learned a lot about deliverance ourselves since we've been here. We don't know everything about deliverance. And we've just come this way as we have learned. And we've learned a lot of things here as we've prayed with people. We've learned a lot. And we've learned various things. We've learned that there's a curse since we've been here. And there's been a lot of teaching now about that by other ministries. Because the Lord's revealing it's time for the curse to be broken. And we all live under a curse. Whether you realize it, whether you believe it or not, there's not a person in here that isn't yet living under some type of a curse.
And most of it has come, you've inherited it. The Bible tells us it is written that the curse is to the third and the fourth generation and to the tenth generation. Incest and sexual sins are a ten-generation curse. The curses that other gods and the occult and these areas are a four-generation curse. And there's none of us know what is in our life back for four generations, let alone 10 generations. So I'm of the opinion that every living person is under the curse of incest and the curse of illegitimacy, of a bastard. I believe that there's a bastard in every ancestral curse, in a 10-generation curse. I believe there's in there someplace. And I believe that incest may be in there many times in there. So we need to come to the understanding of these areas and then, with the help of the Lord, come out from under them and be set free. Now, tradition taught us and has taught us that when we got saved, that all these things were done away with. But reality tells us, shows us, that we're still troubled in these areas. So if they were all taken care of, as our traditional denomination, most of us have come from or belong to, tell us that when we got saved, all this got taken care of, then why are we still bothered? See, the two don't go together. So, but it is written that Jesus became a curse so that we don't have to bear the curse. But we have to apply and appropriate it to our everyday life. And we have to accept that fact and then apply the fact that Jesus became my curse. Just as he became my salvation, just as he became my healer, he also became my curse. And we have to take the word and apply it and tell Satan that it is written. And then take the dominion over whatever the curse is, as the Lord shows you, as we pray in these areas here, over in these areas from time to time, in the deliverance services, then you stick yourself in there and say, it applies to me. And if it doesn't, it didn't hurt anything. But if it does, you'll be set free from it. And the curse will be broken off of your life in those areas. Now, you can't begin to cover all the areas that you can be bound in by curses that you've gotten yourself under or your ancestors have done that you're under. You see, the Word says that Jesus, that the curse is to the third and the fourth generation and to the tenth generation. Well, then the Word also says that the children's edges, the teeth are set on edge. They've eaten sour grapes and their teeth are set on edge. But then the children, and each one will be judged for their own sins. Doesn't it? So that some people take that scripture and twist it to say that the curse no longer exists. But what that's saying is that there was a day coming when there would be a new covenant. And in that new covenant, which would be the Lord Jesus, there would be a way made to come out from under the curse. Under the law, there was no way made to be set free from the curse until Jesus came and became the curse when he hung on the tree. Now, it is written, Galatians 3:13, that Jesus became the curse so that we don't have to bear the curse. So now we can tell the devil that we can break that curse and take his rights away, and we no longer have to live under the curse that we're under. We don't fully understand all of this yet. We're beginning to learn. But I believe that we can, that as we understand and come to the knowledge, that we can set the captives free from the curse of cancer, from the curse of sugar diabetes, from the curse of disease and sin, as we begin to come to a greater understanding and knowledge of these areas that we're bound by and we don't understand. A household of faith does not need, I can't tell you how yet, it's all there, but I don't understand it. But the household of faith does not need to be bound by these things that the world are bound with. And cancer is one of the greatest plagues that's in the earth today. And there is an answer for it in It Is Written. Amen. And and as we begin to come to the understanding of these things and take our authority in Jesus,
we will begin to see the captive set free and begin to see restoration and healing. When speak restoration, the scripture says to raise the dead. Well, those who have incurable diseases are dead in that disease, and God says we have the authority to raise them up from it and set them free. So help us, Lord, to begin to understand and to take that place of authority and dominion and set the captives free. Oh, this afternoon, Irma's going to come and continue here and teach. And then I may come back and help her, and I may not. I'll help in the end. But whether I'll say anything else this afternoon or not, I don't know. Only time will tell. Irma?
James 4. Yes. I'll tell you what. I just one to a family. It's the same thing I passed out to the ladies upstairs. Somebody phoned me the other day and they asked me, why do you have, when you're casting out evil spirits, why do you have people to breathe out? So I thought, I just quit all my desk work, what I was doing up in the office, and I got my big dictionary, and I got some scripture on it. I knew, but I thought I would write it down for this lady, because she was coming to... He was? Did he have my notes, or is the Holy Spirit giving them away? The reason this deliverance is like having a baby. Now the women will understand this, and you men might understand it. I don't know if you will or not. You could if you would. When you start to give birth to a baby, they call it delivery, don't they? Because there's something within our bodies that must be delivered out. And the nurses will tell you, or the doctors will tell you, bear down. And the Lord says, cast out, cast up. So when you read that, you'll understand. Now, Jesus breathed on them the Holy Spirit, didn't he? It's a breath. I saw Derek Prince once at a full gospel convention. Had a whole bunch of people up in front of him that did not have the Holy Spirit. And he just breathed on them. And they all just begin to pray in tongues. There must have been 25 received the Holy Ghost all at once. Tommy, read that scripture real loud that you showed me. Because I don't have that one. Isaiah 11 and 4. Amen. You ready to slay the wicked this afternoon? I am. I really left my notes accidentally at home. So, and a different version of the Bible that I was going to really teach out of. So I had some notes, and I'm going to teach on seeking the Lord and the will of God for us. Now let's go to James, the fourth chapter, first verse. James 4:1. Everybody got it? From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? This is the answer to the quarrels and fights among you, among churches, amongst Christians, amongst families. Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because you ask not. Now the Lord definitely says, ask and you shall receive. Now if you want deliverance, you ask for deliverance. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, or you do not ask it in the will of God, that you may consume it upon your own lust. Within us is a whole army of evil desires. You see, you do not have to teach a baby to be good, do you? Yes, you have to teach them to be good, but to do evil. They'll watch you from the time they're real little. If you say, don't touch that, they'll just gradually put their hand out and touch it. You see, we're born with iniquity in us. And you take a baby about 6 weeks old and you lay him down when he doesn't want to be laid down, and he'll just buck and fight and cry. And we're born like that. So we have to learn to be good. And Christians have to learn about the ways of the Lord. All right, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Now, will you consult a fortune teller? Or any of the occult, we delved a lot into divination upstairs today. You are committing adultery and fornication. spiritual fornication and spiritual adultery. Because why? Because he said, have no other gods before me. And when you consult the god of this world by going to a fortune teller or to hear the future or reading a palm or giving you a reading, you're consulting Satan, who is the god of this world. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud. Aren't you glad for the grace of God? We'd all be dead. We didn't have the grace of God. He's very long-suffering with us. But he is a God of wrath, and he means business. When he says what he says, he means it. But giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Didn't we have that last night? Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. And so on and so forth. So we lust after what will give us pleasure, don't we? Anything that gives the body pleasure, we'll lust after it. The Holy Spirit watches over us with tender jealousy. I don't know what we would do without the Holy Spirit. I can't understand why anybody would fight the Holy Spirit. I really can't. But we are to submit to God, and we are to seek His face. Now, really, my subject should be seeking God. Seek the Lord. Now, we're going to go to Psalms 27. That other was just a little preview. Now, we're going to get down to the nitty-gritty of seeking the Lord. The Lord has a lot more for us. We have not arrived. There's not one soul in here that has arrived to the height of what God has for us. He has so much laid up for us, but we have to seek His face. And we have to do it, I hate to use the word religiously, but I mean seriously. We need to seek the Lord. Seek the face of the Lord. And let's read Psalms 27 and 8. Everybody got it? Everybody with me? 27 and 8. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Can anybody say that this afternoon? Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Would you like to all say that? God said, seek ye my face. My heart said unto thee. Our heart is kin to our mind. What's down in our heart comes out through our mind. Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Now, let's say that again and mean it. Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Now, you remember that when you go home Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. And seek a time out to seek the Lord. Take time to seek the Lord. All these things just don't come on a platter. When we first get saved, sure, the 30-fold, we pray and we get anything almost that we ask for. Because the Lord is so merciful to us. When we come into the 60-fold and get the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, then that's all free. But then from then on, it's going to cost you something to go on toward the 100-fold. And I don't think anybody in here is in the 100-fold anointing, but God's promised that He'll give it to us. So I believe that He will. Let's see. I have written down here a note. God often wants to give us something precious and vital that daily devotions hasn't given us. He sometimes shows us our sins when we're quiet before Him. You ever get convicted right while you're waiting before the Lord or reading the Word? How many get convicted when you read the Word? See, that's washing our minds. There'll be breakthroughs in families. Now, before this week is over, I'm going to tell you about a wonderful breakthrough we've had with our daughters. See, everything isn't always rosy in our family either. Every family, I believe, is being tried through their children or their parents or their grandparents or their aunts or uncles. Somebody is always out to persecute or to cause trouble. So I'm going to talk about that at another time. And I'm also going to talk on healing. We need to walk with God to be more effective. And we don't always seek God for the things or even for what we need. Sometimes we seek God for what other people need. And we have calls all the time, serious calls, for people, to pray for people. And when Job prayed for his friends, what happened? He was delivered, wasn't he? He was delivered. When Job, you know, it's not just we three and no more. It's all the body of Christ. When one person in the body of Christ is suffering, we all should suffer. And we all should, just like with Earlene Moody, everybody's been praying for her. And I praise God that the Lord is helping her, because she had a congestive kidney failure. I had to go on dialysis last week. We're believing that those kidneys are going to come back to life that have died. They first told her it was congestive heart trouble. Then they found out it's her kidneys. So we need to keep thanking the Lord for helping her and healing her. Sometimes we need to seek God just for himself. Just to seek God. See what he wants to tell us. Get quiet before him. And we also need to seek to abide in him. What does the Bible say about abiding? Abiding in me and my words abide. Speak it out. Ask what you will. That's a powerful scripture. But what you have to do? You have to abide in him. Abide in his word. We have Jesus within us, but we need to abide in Jesus. We need to be always mindful of abiding in the word. Now let's go to Exodus 33 and 7. Exodus 33 and 7. This is about Moses and the tabernacle and the cloud and the glory. How many likes to feel the glory cloud? The glory cloud was so strong upstairs, wasn't it? It was just beautiful. Because we started out praising the Lord. We started out worshiping the Lord like we started this meeting this afternoon. And I just like to stop right now and just say, Holy Spirit, just come with a mighty way this afternoon to deliver thy people. Lord, we praise you for your Holy Spirit to just possess us this afternoon. Possess our words. Open up our spiritual eyes and our spiritual ears to hear. Open up our mind. Cleanse our mind, Lord. Cleanse our subconscious mind so we can hear and be attentive to your word. Lord, we want to abide in you. So then when we ask, we will receive. I praise you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus. Exodus 33 and 7. Everybody got it? And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, far off from the camp. I don't blame him with that bunch of rebellious millions. You know, what he went through, it was pitiful. Just two rebellious people can drive you out of your mind almost, but you take millions. So he had to go out. He had to go out and wait on the Lord. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle. Just those who sought the Lord. The rest of them, they just stayed in the tents. They weren't even interested. Which was without the camp. And it came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood and looked. They just stood and looked, every man at his tent door. Where's Moses going now? What's he going to do now? And they looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. See, they depended on him all the time. God spoke to Moses, and Moses then spoke to the people. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. Does the Lord ever talk to you? Or do we get quiet enough for him to talk to us? That still small voice down within you, that's when he talks to us. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped. Well, praise God, they started worshiping in their tents, every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. Wouldn't that be something wonderful? I don't know if we can handle it or not. We probably couldn't, but he talked to him face to face, and he turned again unto the camp. But his servant, listen to this, Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. See, Joshua was being trained to take Moses' place, wasn't he? And this was about the time that Moses was going to be taken, and long before the Lord, Joshua stood and he worshiped in the presence. Isn't the presence of the Lord wonderful? Just, you don't have to say anything. When the presence of the Lord comes down upon you so strong, you can just sit and just just have the Holy Spirit just speak softly to you, and you feel the warm glow, just what I'm starting to speak now, again, the Holy Spirit is starting to come down upon us. And I pray that your spiritual senses will be opened so that you will feel the power of God. You'll feel the anointing, because it is the anointing that's going to destroy the yoke. Now, I know that we get so familiar of what goes on in church, and we get so used to everything, thinking that it has to be this way or it has to be that way, but it doesn't. It doesn't have to be this way or that way. It can be whatever the Holy Spirit wants. They were talking this morning, the singers, about being led by the Spirit of the Lord. Those are the ones that are going to be the sons of God. They are the ones that the Lord will call His sons. In the book of Revelations, too. I remember Brother Williams telling me that he went to Prayer Mountain when he visited Korea with the Full Gospel Businessmen. They went out to the Prayer Mountain of Cho's. Now, this was way back before Cho's church was very big. Just a few people, way back in the 60s. But they went up on Prayer Mountain, and the women and the men, too, would hold on to bushes and pray and intercede and travail for souls. And you see what it's come to now. Thousands and thousands of people have been saved in Cho's church out of heathenism. And it pays to pray. It really does pay to pray. Let's look at Ephesians 5 and 16. Ephesians 5 and 16. Let's start the ninth verse first. 5 and 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. How many want truth? We all should be seeking truth. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. I was telling the girls today about Glenn going up to the gift shop in the national park to the head man and demanding that he take the voodoo dolls out of the gift shop that it had for sale. Right on it, it said, this is not a toy, not a child's toy. It told what to do if your worst enemy, if you want them to have a heart attack, you take a certain pin and run it through their heart. If you want them to have rheumatism in the knees, you took pins and put it in the knees. And Glenn went down there and told the man, we want that taken out of that store. And he talked to him, explained to him what it was, how bad voodoo was. And he asked him, what are you going to do about it? He said, I'll take care of it. And then said, well, how are you going to take care of it? So he picked up the phone and called the girl that waited on the customers and told her, see, the tower, it's in the tower, way up on top of the mountain. You go up an elevator and way up high and you see all over. And they have a gift shop. And he said to her, I want you to take that voodoo doll, take those dolls off of your shelf and don't sell them anymore and destroy them. That was doing what? Reproving the works of the enemy, wasn't it? But all things that are reproved, I left out the 12th verse, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light of the Lord. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Now, as Christians, how many feel sometimes you waste time? You waste God's time. I'm sure we all do. That we could be doing better things with our time instead of, I'm not even going to talk about what we could have done instead. We just need to seek the Lord. We need to take time to seek the Lord. We don't have to walk as mere men, as just mediocre Christians. In the workplace, I was really impressed. We were down with the Hammonds and Steve Bell a couple weeks ago, and I was impressed because a lady came in there with a little girl, 5 years old, and she had a scarf over the little girl had a scarf hanging down over her face. You couldn't see her, and she had on an apron, a big old apron she was wearing, and the mother had brought her because there was something, she wasn't just right. And she wanted to wear that garb all the time, or dress up into something like a clown, or always doing something. And she Well, she was full of demons was her problem. They were hippies, intelligent yuppies, and this girl had confided to her neighbor once, seven houses down, that she felt something was wrong with her little girl, but she didn't know what it was. So the neighbor went to work, and he worked with a Christian man at Texas Instruments, and this Christian man gave him a book of Pigs in the Parlor, gave this fellow worker. Now, we can witness in the workplace, but I'm not for witnessing if you're supposed to be working, but you can quietly, on your lunch hour or on your break, witness for the Lord if you handle it discreetly. Well, this man took that book home and he read it, and then he gave it to this mother. She saw it was a Baptist pastor, a Baptist book, so she saw a little Baptist church in the neighborhood, so she went to the Baptist church, and they got her saved. And the profound things that the Lord was showing that girl, and she had no teaching at all except what she read in the book, and she said, every time I follow what's written in this book, my little girl gets better. The father was an alcoholic, but he was a psychologist, dealing with a lot of mentally sick people. So she went to Mrs. Hammond to see if she would pray for this child. So Linda Bell and I and Mrs. Hammond and another lady that was with Mrs. Hammond, we went in the side room and we took this child. And the little child, the minute we got in there, Mrs. Hammond put her on her lap and held her tightly. And she had the mother move back so the child couldn't reach out and grab the mother or anything. And we began to pray for that child. And all kinds of evil spirits came out of that child. Incest and everything. Well, she was remarkably better. We walked back in the service for the second session in the afternoon. They had sessions all day long like we do. And that child sat there like a little angel. And the next day on Sunday morning, she came back dressed in a cute little white dress with a pink sash and a pink bow in her hair, looking 100% different. But the devil always tries one more last time to get his sting in. And she had a piece of tape across her nose. I said, what's the matter? Do you have an ouchie? And her mother said, no, she just wanted to wear that. So I said, take it off. Take that off of her. Don't let her do anything that's not normal. And then the lady went to the first man that gave the book out and asked, could I come to this church all the time? See what one witness, one Christian in a factory could do. Look at all the people that book and that witness that man gives. So it pays to witness. I am forgiving your boss whatever he's paying you for how many hours he's paying you for. But I'm also for letting your light shine, but don't be stupid about it. Don't be that crazy. Christ has more for us than we're able to receive. I know it. I know it. I know he wants to give us more and more and more. And we don't have to be normal. We want to be Christ-like. And we have to revamp our priorities. And we have to be rooted in Christ. In Matthew 6:6, it talks about going in to your closet and shutting the door. To be shut in with God. Reading your word. Praying, asking the Lord what he would have you pray about. He might want you to pray for Africa or India. Whatever it is, asking the Lord to help you. And just desire the presence of the Lord. Maybe you don't ask for anything. You just go in there and praise him and worship him. Oh, it'll be remarkable. I tried a long time ago, I guess 20 years ago, on paying your tithes on your time. The Lord has the right. You know, in aerospace, where I worked so long as a supervisor, we always had to figure man hours all the time. They never talked about people. How many man hours will it take to do a certain job and all that? So if you're going to tithe on 24 hours a day, how many hours will that be that you give to the Lord? 2 hours and 40 minutes, right? Is that right? 2 hours and 40 minutes that you give to the Lord, whether you're reading the Word, whether you're praying, whether you're worshiping, whether you're witnessing. At least pay your tithes on your time. Are you for that? Is everybody interested in doing that? Just try it. I think you'll like it. I do. I really do. Now we're going to go into something else. See, I told you I left my notes at home, so I have to go into something else, and we're going to have deliverance here pretty quick. But I'm going to talk. You know, this, we have had many, many deliverance ministers. We've been under their ministry. And I am happy for everyone that comes because I like for them to pray for me. You learn something from every deliverance minister. But one in particular, well, one person, the very first person that ever really prayed for us for deliverance came to our home and prayed, and his name was Duncan. And then the next one was Derek Prince. And that's when he first wrote that one little book about demons back there. It was 25 cents in those days. That was the first book I ever saw on demons. And it was written very explicit. And it's very good to this day. I think he's got the price up on it now, but we got it back there. And then we came under Don Basham. And then we came under a man named Brother Williams, who is alive, 89 years old, in Phoenix. It has taught us. He come here and stayed with us many months when we first come here because the demons were coming from every direction. And we were not able to cope with it without prayer power and prayer help. And so he's always, many times when he'd pray for me, he'd say, Irma, you are so willful. And you got to repent about willfulness. Well, one day I thought, what in the world? Why am I willful? I don't know what he's talking about. So if you feel that, or somebody tells you you're willful, then you need to start looking up. I started looking up. Well, why am I willful, Lord? What is this? What makes me willful? It must have been a demon. I figured that out, or he wouldn't have said, you're so willful. And so I started looking it up. Now, what did Jesus say about will? See, it's our want to. It's our will that governs us. You know, if you want to do anything, your will help you do it, right? Psalmist said, in you might want to take these scriptures down, Psalms 40 and 8. I'm just going to quote a little bit of them. I delight to do thy will, O God. Can you say that? I delight to do thy will, O God. Really? Do you? Okay. And then Hebrews 10 and 7. Lo, I come in the volume of the book. What? To do thy will. To do thy will, O God. Psalms 143:10 says, teach me, Lord, to do thy will. Let's say that. Teach me, Lord, to do thy will. This is a workshop, see, we have to learn. If you've got to learn to spell, the teacher will tell you to sound it out and spell it, and you talk out loud and you hear yourself. That's how faith comes, by hearing. Matthew 6:10, Jesus said, thy will be done. In the Lord's Prayer, isn't it? Thy will be done. It's good to pray that Lord's Prayer, because it's got in there, deliver me from all evil. And thy kingdom come. Matthew 7:21. He that doeth the will of my Father will what? Can you quote that? He that doeth. Look it up, Matthew 7:21, and then we'll remember it. Somebody got it? Matthew 7:21.
Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, say the kingdom of God, but he who doeth the will of my Father.
Which is in heaven. The kingdom of God. So we have to do the will of the Father. John 5:30. This is a good one. John 5:30. These are scriptures that, there's a book back there on proclamations, and the princes have written it, and it's kind of an expensive book, but once you start reading it, you can see how important it is to quote these scriptures and proclaim them. All right? What was it we're going to do, John? Okay, someone read it. See, that was, to be like Jesus, we need not to seek our own will. Seek what the Lord says. Seek the Lord. Romans 12:2. Prove what is that good and perfect will of God. Prove it. It took us 7 years to get here after Glenn had the vision of this actual property. 7 long years. We proved it every way, and I didn't want it to happen. I didn't want to come here. I was very happy in California being a publication consultant. And Glenn, we were a team. We'd go into Lockheed or Litton or North American or Space Center and get out a proposal so they'd get a new contract for the Air Force. And any new plane they were going to bid on, they'd always have these proposals, usually 3 times. They'd do one and they'd study it, study contracts, and then they'd do some more, and they'd usually be about 25,000 pages. And Glenn and I would go in as the consultants to get that work done in probably about 6 weeks. And it had to be typed and printed and retyped and fixed and all kinds of things of exactly how they planned to make that weapon, whatever it was, some kind of plane or ship or something. And I was very happy, and I would not come one step here until we really proved the will of God. And otherwise, we could have never. If we'd have come the first whim of his vision, I'm sure we'd have blown away long ago. But you have to. Do you believe that, Brother Fletcher? You have to prove what is the perfect will of God and prove it and reprove it and get... Every time we would walk into a big meeting that people didn't even know us, the prophet or somebody up in the front would prophesy to us and tell us that we were moving and and the Lord was going to use us. And I didn't ever want to hear that. I was very happy living in California. Well, here I am. Now let's go to Ephesians 5:17 to understand what the will of the Lord is. Let's read all that real good. Ephesians 5:17. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. All the time I'm always saying I want to be like Jesus. How many says that? And see, Jesus was constantly saying, not my will, not my will, not what I want to do. I'm sure when he was in heaven looking down on this world and knew what he was sent to do, that it was even hard for him. I really think it was hard for him. To me, Gethsemane was hard. All right, let's go to Ephesians 6, right across the page, and verse 6. Not with eye service, it's talking about servants. Not with eye service as men pleases, but as a servant of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Now, if you've got something really down in your heart, you don't mind doing it. Your will have to come into submission to the will of God. If you know that you know that you know, it is the will of God. 1 John 2:17. Whoever doeth the will of God, what? Abideth forever. Say that, abideth forever.
Abideth forever.
Jesus, I want to do your will. Now, let's read Romans 7:18. For I know, and I really know it, that in me there is, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. Paul was writing, and he said, in my flesh there's no good thing. The only thing that's good in us is Jesus, the Holy Spirit. That's the only thing that's good. Our flesh wants to go its own way. Now, let's read what really happens, our rewards. 1 Corinthians 9:17. A reward for being willing. See, all of you, I'm being rewarded by all of you coming here because I finally, when I saw the river going down the middle of the property, I'd heard that over and over, that vision that Glenn had, and the waterfall, and the trees that dropped their leaves, and the trees that stayed green, and the mountains all around. I could no longer fight, but it took us a long time to find this place. 5 years. 5 years. We looked in Oregon because it had to be a certain color green. Oregon's the same color green. Oh, he was explicit. He had that vision over and over, and he saw people like you around here, and we were praying for people, and he'd tell me who was here, different people. And I just did not, I'd say, honey, I wish you'd just keep quiet. Our friends all think we're crazy. Well, you know, sometimes the will of God causes you to act a little, you know. 1 Corinthians 9:17. Don't you laugh, Dr. Noel. I bet those doctors up there and those nurses look at Dr. Noel when he walks in. Here he comes again to trouble Israel. Here comes this man to trouble Israel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. Praise God. I'm being rewarded by all your presence here and by the presence of the Lord here. I really am. It does my heart good to see all of you here. But if against my will a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me, what is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. Paul was a straight man, wasn't he? He wanted the will of God, and he did not want to do anything that would hurt Jesus. When Jesus was in Gethsemane, he said to the Father, "If it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Not my will, Lord, but thine be done." Now we're going to come into the part that I would rather not even talk about. This willfulness. How many think you might have willfulness? Be honest now. Let's see how many people we got in here that think they might be willful some days. Sure. We're all in this together. We are a family. I'm going to read you what the dictionary says about willfulness. You know, all secretaries read the dictionaries. I have a lot of them. I'd like to have more time to read more of them. Here's what it means. Willful means bent on having your own way. How do you like that kettle of fish? What? Don't we all just want our own way? Stubborn and obstinate. Intentional and deliberate, as willful murder, perverseness, and self-will. Have you ever looked up the word self in the dictionary? There's dozens of pages on self. Self-will. Headstrong. Unconquerable. Ungovernable. Determined. Intractable. One who will hold on to his own opinion or course in spite of reason, appeal, persuasion, or attack. Just stand stubborn, won't listen to any authority. We've had that problem with our young people of this age, haven't we? They don't want to come under any authority. They don't want to have anybody tell them anything what to do. They want to be their own, what do they call it? Be their own. Creation, yeah. Creation, is that what you say? Oh, free agent. I want to be my own free agent. And boy, they do. But it's not the will of God for people to act like that. A stubborn man. You awake, Glenn? No, I said a man. The dictionary didn't say anything about a stubborn woman, really. It didn't. It said a stubborn man. Like an obstinate woman. Somebody that refused to change. But stubbornness is more apt to be innate and hence habitual than to be obstinate. And it has an unyielding quality. And stubbornness is what? As idolatry and witchcraft. How do you like that? You like that? Stubbornness is as witchcraft? Headstrong describes a violently impetuous person. Like Peter was impetuous. You know, he's always running, doing something without thinking. One thing, he did obey the Lord, though, when he told him to go down there and get that money out of that fish's mouth. He went. Willful people are more deliberate than the headstrong and more stubborn than the wayward who yield. Am I getting to any of you? Have I said any word at all that has touched you in any way? How about on the mourner's bench back in the back? I can't see. Somebody that's always wanting to be different. You know, the Holy Spirit wants us all to flow together in unity, and it's really easy to minister if everybody is flowing together. But if you've got one or two people just, you know, you can feel it. It's easy here to minister. It's not easy when we go out and maybe we go to a church that's never heard about deliverance and we begin to speak. You can feel, you know, you don't feel the unction of the flow of the Holy Spirit. Here you're all hungry. You all came here because you want to learn, because it shows that you are growing. And some people say, well, I'm not growing. I haven't grown in 10 years. Oh, yes, you have, if you've come here. Really? If you can stand this place, you can stand most any place. The last meeting, we had a judge here, 42-year-old judge. He didn't look like a judge. I mean, what I would picture a judge. Sat and cried a lot. He came for help. His mother-in-law sent him. That's pretty good when your mother-in-law. And he listened to her. And praise God, he's moved back at home. He's back with his wife. And we're believing God to pull that family back together. We're believing that. That's why we come here, for family's sake. The Lord had showed us you're going to be instrumental in families coming back together. And we've had our trials, but I'm going to talk to you later, tomorrow maybe, on our daughter who has turned about face. She's been away almost 17 years. Okay. Now we're going to go and start to repent. Now, you see, there's so many things in the Bible. If you keep reading the Bible and make a little list of every day as you read and the Holy Spirit shows you, you will know more about how to repent. You know, we're really, the enemy, he's the last one to ever allow us to know that he's in there. He hides. But the washing of the water of the Word, get alone with the Lord, read your Word, you'll see so many new things that you've never seen before. Okay. To be willful is to be have a determination to do something, right or wrong. Now, I tell you, you need a backbone. Your will is a wonderful thing if it's guided in the right way. You know, I will to do thy will, O God. But if it's going the opposite direction, it's bad news. Power of self-direction and deliberately going against the will of God. We all have a freedom of our will. Now, this afternoon, when I get through speaking here, I can go downtown and go in a bar and get drunk. And God's not going to stop me. Is he? No. So it's your own want to and your own will. Whatever you will not to do, and you ask the Lord to help you, then you don't have to smoke. At a recent meeting, there were so many people that smoked in this big charismatic church that I was just astounded. I couldn't believe it. And I don't know how many people in here smoke, but I know the Lord's able to deliver you. He is able to deliver you. He wants to deliver you. You're hurting his temple. We're not our own. We're not our own. We belong to the Lord, don't we? Compulsive buying. People that just go and buy, and they don't need it. They just go buy. I think I had part of that once. I think I've had, when these deliverance men get through working on you, if you didn't know you had it, you'd start thinking about it after they told you. And then you'd seek deliverance. You know, we talked a lot upstairs about divination and going to fortune tellers and reading occult books and how it's visited down to the third and the fourth generation.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.